tempted and all kinds of things happen to him. Okay, that's the flesh man. You got to pass by the flesh man and get to the spirit man. Jesus, he is your father. And he'll always love you and take care of you and deliver you and be good to you. And so it's a breakthrough. It takes a revelation in the mind to break off that old man and get to the new man. Get to that new person. Man will let you down, but God will never let you down. And leave, he'll never leave, he'll never forsake. And the Holy Ghost isn't one that just kind of blows like the wind, you know, and comes. Today you're blessed and tomorrow you're cursed. Some people teach that kind of stuff. He said he's the author and finisher of our faith. When he's invited in, he gets in there, he's going to see you through. And you may have some lumps and bumps, and you may go off and do some crazy things. But he didn't leave you. You can't get away from him. The highest mountain, the deepest ocean, he's already there. He's waiting for you. And if you're trying to hide out something you're doing, it's just like you're in front of an X-ray machine at all times. You say, well, I'll sneak around the corner and do this. He's there too. He's waiting on you. He can't get out of his sight. He says his eyes cover the whole world, looking to and fro where his people are. He's looking. And he sees you. How does he see you? How does the Father see you? Through the blood of Jesus. That's the only way you can be righteous. That's the only way you can be good. Jesus said there's not one good. No, not one. All have come short of the glory. So what's this all about? Jesus. He's the one that took our place. Thank God. I don't deserve to have health and life and prosperity. Except that he said that's what he wants for me. Ooh, I will. Imagine how glad that leper was. Man, just jumping and leaping and praising God. Let's follow this for a little bit. Jesus said to him, see that thou tell no man, go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. He wants these guys that are doing nothing but sitting around being religious to see the power of God. He wants that old leper to go in there and say, look at me. I've been redeemed. Okay. And when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. This is a Roman soldier. Saying, Lord, my servant lies home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Here is the I will again. I will. It's my will. Now, he just got through with the leper. Some people say, well, maybe he made a mistake there. Maybe just off the top of his head. Now he's got time to think it over. The centurion said, I got a servant that's sick. Jesus said, I will come and I will heal him. Right. What's he saying? It's my will. My will, my Father's will, the Holy Ghost's will. Okay? And back again to that will, that word, we have to determine an act, impulse, consideration, gladly, to delight in, desire, intent, love, pleasure, be, will, have. He's saying, yes, that's what I come for. Why do you think I'm on earth? I come to make you whole, heal, deliver from demons, make whole. It's all in there. A lot of times when you read the word salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. What do you suppose? Saved there, we're thinking, well, we come to the Lord. Saved, there also means to be healed. It also means to be delivered from demons. It also says be made whole. The Greek word is sozo. S-O-Z-O. So it's pronounced sozo. So when you see that word saved in Romans 10, 9 and 10, and the church just brings you in, baptizes you in water, they don't tell you, you got a package deal. You're entitled to be healed. You're entitled to be loose from devils that's trying to kill you on heroin or alcohol or whatever else they're trying to do. He gave you this full deal. It's written out. He took our place. So why? These things could happen. Why? I wonder why the church don't teach that. The reason they don't is a lot of them don't believe in it. They don't believe that Jesus casts out devils. They don't believe that he cleanses lepers. Today. See, that what they'll tell you, well, Jesus could do it. And who do you think you are? I had them tell me that right to my face. Who do you think you are?
Just tell them, well, who do you think's in me?
Well, I'm not anybody, but I know somebody that's in me. And he can do all things, same yesterday, today, and forever. How long's forever? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's see what happened to this centurion. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant be healed. Boy, this guy's got faith. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and say to one man, go, and he goes, another come. He comes, and one to jump, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Jesus only marveled twice in the New Testament. He marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. The only other time he marveled was he marveled at the Pharisees and the religious crowd's doubt and unbelief. He only marveled twice. He marveled at this guy. He's just a Roman soldier, and he says, I know if you just speak it, you don't have to go down to my house. You just speak it, it's going to happen. Because these soldiers over here, I tell them jump, and they say, how high? And he says, I know when you talk, things happen, because he'd been watching Jesus. He knew that all these things were happening. He says, you just speak it. So who's going to speak it today? Us. It comes out of us. See, the devil has to move when it says when you resist him. How are you going to resist him? The word, the word, the word, the word. Yes. Satan come to Jesus and says, okay, you're hungry? Take this stone and make it into bread. Jesus says, no, well, don't tempt the Lord your God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So then he wants to come along and get, what was the second one? Playing with his mind. Said, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Took him on a high mountain. Do you suppose what the devil showed him? Man, he showed him everything. I mean, he says, you can have all of this. Beautiful women, riches, anything. Just bow to me. And Jesus says, only bow to the Lord thy God. Only him will I bow to. Right. And then he tries to get religious on him. He puts him on the top of a temple. He says, jump off, because it's written. So now Satan's quoting the scripture that the angels will keep you from dashing your foot against a stone. Jesus said, yeah, it's written again, don't tempt the Lord thy God.
That's right.
So what did he do? He fought him back with scripture. Don't you think Satan won't quote scripture to you and get you to try and follow it? That's why it's by two or three witnesses. Follow it up and look at it. Be careful what you're doing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you getting this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. I want to go to chapter 26 in Matthew. Yeah, sure.
We were just talking about. The other day, I was thinking of this, about the. I was just thinking about the centurion. And here you're speaking about him. What I felt the Lord was showing me, all of these people that Jesus healed, they all had one thing in common. And remember when Jesus was telling his people, you know, if you want something from me, knock, seek, and find. Well, each and every person that came to Jesus, they knocked. They sought and they found the answer to what their problem was. Because, you know, when you think about it, they did not have the Bible to read. They did not have the Bible to read to know that Jesus was a healer.
Amen.
But they were quickened in their spirits to believe in him. And so they went to him. A lot of times when you read in these miracles that not only did they believe for themselves, but they were going and interceding on behalf of daughters, on behalf of sons, on behalf of their employees. Because they actually sought, they knocked, and the Lord answered them. And how it all worked together, you can ask for yourself, but you can also ask and intercede on others' behalf, and the Lord will heal them.
Amen. Amen. In chapter 26, I want to start about 37. Now, he's in the garden, and he knows he's going to be crucified. And he's there to pray, and he knows that this is going to come on him. And Jesus is smart enough to know that it's going to hurt. See, he was God, but he was in a clay body just like you and me, and it was going to hurt. He knew it was going to be bad. And 37, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then says he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. See, he had to will that he would give his life. He's asking the Father, is there any other way than take it from me? But nonetheless, I come to earth, Father, to do thy will. He says it more than once. I mean, this is his desire to do the will of Father. So all of these healings and all the deliverances and everything that Jesus did was direct will and command of the Father to do those things. And I'm telling you, he's still doing them. Amen. If we'll allow him. And I got a place the other day, I got some prayer, and Lord, help me. I mean, they were talking about, well, if God wanted to take me home, and this is over this thing on my ear. It's getting better, by the way. It's shrinking. It's shrinking. I'm healed. But they're got me going on to the next beyond. Really? I'm talking about spirit-filled people. And then it was from some different churches, and then they were talking about, well, the thorn in the flesh, which wasn't sickness. I'll teach on that someday. It was a demon spirit sent to buffet. And buffet means to pound on from the outside. Okay? Another thing they talk about, Paul, he had weak eyes. Okay? If I wrote you a large letter, in the King James, a singular letter, and I didn't talk about sickness before I wrote, you know, the start of the letter or any place through the letter and on through to the end of the letter, would you get the assumption I had bad eyes? See, they move it over to letters, they add plural, and then they start talking about Paul having weak eyes. Why would God, a guy that writes most of the New Testament, and he sat in a prison with a candlelight, put weak eyes on him? I mean, the man had to see to do all of this. It's a no-brainer. But why did they bring stuff up like that? Because they don't believe in healing. Now, Peter said, by the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. And Isaiah, 500 years before the cross, says, we are. Well, how can he say we are when the cross hasn't even been invented yet? The Spirit of the Lord, he knows. Now, them guys wasn't lying. Psalm 103 forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. How much is all? All means all, even in Watusi. Remember that, okay? So when he's talking about all, he's talking about the full load, the whole train. I want to go one more place. Ooh, I'm getting happy. 3 John. Third toward the back, you get back near Revelation, and you got to look the little book of Jude. You got 3 little letters from John. I want 3 John. It's just after Peter. After 2 Peter. Which is after James. Which is after Hebrews. Which is after Genesis. 3 John. Just before Jude. What was that old one? Judy, Judy, Judy. What are you laughing about?
We want to know what
page it's on. Oh. 252. Don't pay attention to me. Have you found it? Let me see. You're getting close. Yeah. Did everybody find it? You know, this is a letter written. That's what we call them, epistles, letters. They're to the church. They're to you. John took very special delight to write to you today. See, this is to you. Amen. It's to the church, so that includes everybody that would ever come and be a member of the church. So let this be personal. the elder unto the well-beloved church. He's got a person's name there. Put your own name in there. Beloved Bud, whom I love in the truth. Or beloved Peggy, or beloved Mike, or beloved whoever you are. You got that?
Amen.
Okay. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Okay, I couldn't resist that. Now, beloved, see, we could camp on this one. We could have men's retreat, right, Daryl? Right on this. We could just go on and on and on. Okay, beloved, I wish above all things. I mean, he's getting this as a top priority, above all things. Everything, above everything, is his wish for the beloved. That thou mayest prosper, let's talk of prosperity, and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So I looked up wish. I thought, Lord, has that got anything to do with will? Wish is to wish, to pray to God. Will, wish. So will is thrown right in there. So you can take will there and you can rattle off and go right back into to determine and act, impulse, consideration gladly, to be a delight, desire, intent, love, pleasure, be, will, have. That's what all that's saying right there. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. You need to mark that. And the devil starts picking on your finances and picking on your health. Just open up the book and say, listen, devil, it is written. Kenneth Copeland used to do it this way. First of all, he'd hold it up. Say, Lord, you remember writing this? Remember this, Lord, in this book? Well, sure, the Lord remembers. But he just, remember that? You know what he said here? And so then he'd read it, and he says, that's me. And then he began to pick on the devil. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more. Okay? You got to speak to the mountain. You got to resist. Because the devil has come to try and slip in on you any old way he can. And how does he usually do it? He reminds you of your past.
Uh-huh.
Ah, deep, dark secrets. No secret with God. He reminds you of your past. Where's your past? It's under the blood. Isn't it? If it isn't, it better be. Did Jesus shed enough blood for you? Yes. One drop. Ooh! One drop was enough. And Jesus said, I put it in the sea of forgetfulness and I remember it no more. And there's other places he says, I don't remember it anymore. You call up God and say, Lord, you remember what I did yesterday? And I ask for forgiveness and the Lord will say, no. Why? Has he got a bad memory? No, he chooses to forget and forgive it. That's why we prayed this morning to forgive and forget other people who have pulled things on us. You don't have to raise your hands, but we all have been slandered and picked upon. And people are trying to do it to us today. But see, we got Jesus on our side. He ever lives to intercede. He prays for you day and night. Think of that. The God of the universe is praying for old Bud day and night. And it says the Holy Spirit intercedes for me and you. How much better can it get? It can't get any better. I remember thing on TV, they used to have this beer, this old Milwaukee. It's real pukey stuff. The only reason I used to buy it because it was cheap. And these guys were sitting on this beautiful creek with this rotten beer and saying, it doesn't get any better than this. Man, that's a lie. You all know that. Did you have something?
Yes, I was thinking you used the word forget.
Yes, yes.
Forget.
Say that again.
You've been speaking about willing.
You got to turn it on. We'll get it.
Sorry. Bud has been using the word wills. God wills. Jesus wills. And he used the word, does he have a bad memory? He said, no, he chooses to forget our sins. But he could use the word wills in there interchangeably with chooses.
Amen. I can't help myself. Over in Jude, I want to finish up with that. It's only one chapter. Verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Lord. But you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
How do you do that? God gives you the opportunity to do that. It belongs to you. Most of us do that by what we call tongues. It's a prayer language that God gives you. You don't have to speak in tongues. It's your option. But God is talking about manifesting something through us. You say, what good is it, but I don't understand it? God does. Some guy in Watusi can come in here and start talking. I don't know what he's saying. Amen? Does that mean he's evil? And just because I can't understand him. So, something about tongues, the devil don't understand them either.
Right.
That's why, if you want to bring up a controversy in the church, healing is a pretty good one. Casting out devils is even a little bit better. Bring up tongues and you got the greatest one. Why do you suppose Satan fights that so bad? He don't want us to do it.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some having compassion make an indifference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted with the flesh. Now unto him, who's the him?
Jesus.
Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Everybody say faultless. Faultless. Before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God or Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you these words have sunk into our heart today. Lord, we're not ain'ts, we're saints.
Amen.
And you, Lord, are the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, and it says what you start, you're going to finish. And also, Lord, when you was talking to the Father, you said that all that had been given to you, you lost not one of them. Lord, you never lost a soul. You never lost a soul. You never lost a soul. And He isn't going to lose us here either. He's never lost one. He doesn't lose people. Said, Father, you gave them to me. They're mine. They're ours. They belong to us. And no devil's going to get you away. In the name of Jesus. Isn't that good news? He can't do it. All his hordes lined up. Remember David? One little guy with a slingshot, with a sling rather, and one big Goliath. And Goliath had challenged the army of Israel for 40 days and 40 nights. Send out some champion. And if I kill him, then you guys all got to be our servants. And if he kills me, then it goes the other way. And they hid out. All of them were hiding in the rocks. And David comes along from taking care of the sheep, minding his own business with a little wine, a little few loaves of bread. And his brother got on him and says, you just came out to see the battle. What battle? They've been hiding like a bunch of rabbits for 40 days. Ain't no battle going on. You just come out here to, you know. And so David says, what'd I do? And then they says, this is good, to show you that David lived in the realm of the spirit and the flesh. It says, whoever kills this giant gets the king's daughter. And David said, what'd you say? What was that? What was that? What'd you say? Whoever kills the giant gets the king's daughter. Oh, this, you know, there's benefits to this war. David was human. You know, we put these people up some patriarch. David made some mistakes. But he didn't make a mistake the day that he killed Goliath. And Goliath is out there, and this is my own opinion. Don't run out here saying he's teaching heresy. Okay? They had a helmet that had a big thing that come down over their nose. And I think Goliath was so knowing that he was going to kill David with his big sword. He didn't even have his helmet on. He's just standing there and said, "Come on, sonny, I'm gonna whack you up and feed you to the buzzards." That's what he said. And David said, "No. You've defied the God of Israel. You're gonna die." And once David started speaking, he started running at him. "Today's the day, buddy." And he let that stone fly and he caught him right between the ears. That's why I don't believe the helmet. I think he was so... These people had hid for 40 days and 40 nights, and this little guy said, "You runt, you son of a dog." That's what he called him. He said, no, you're the one that has the ancestry that we're talking about. That's the story. I'm paraphrasing. The boy, when he started getting that rock ready to go, says it sunk right into his head, and David took that sword, and he whacked his head off. The last thing that Goliath did was gurgle. That was over. And he got the king's daughter, and just so the story goes on. But it only takes one to be a champion. There's one in your house. If you're the one right now that's the champion, then be the champion that you need to be in your house. You stand against the devil in your house, yes.
One thing that stands out about that is when he came up there, he also told his enemy where he was coming from. The God that gave me the power to slay the lion, the God.
Yeah, oh.
The bear. He made it known to him where his power laid. It wasn't just David coming at him.
There was a song the Lord gave me. I'll sing it for you. David killed a lion and he killed a bear. And when he met Goliath, when he slew Goliath, he says, "My God is everywhere. Peace to Jerusalem, it is the Holy Land. Praise the Messiah, he's the God of Abraham." There was a man called Samson who had a mighty hand, and without his eyes he pulled the temple in on them. Peace to Jerusalem, it is the Holy Land. Praise the Messiah, he's the God of Abraham. There was a man called Daniel who was in the lion's den. As for his accusers, they were slain where he had been. Peace to Jerusalem, it is the Holy Land. Praise the Messiah, he's the God of Abraham. Hallelujah! Lord, be blessed, and that we can go forth with power and authority today, knowing that we washed in the blood, and knowing the Holy Spirit lives in our lives, and that the will of the Lord is to cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, heal the sick, bring people into the kingdom. Lord, we just give you all the praise, and all God's children said, amen. Oh, we're gonna have communion. Yeah. Communion, people. Okay. Okay.
For anybody that wants to go down, they show pictures every year. They're really sad, you know.
Thank you. You know, I don't know about you, but when I get to praying and getting this going, it gets hot.
Yes.
You feel that heat, that's the Holy Ghost working. In case some of you wasn't here yet, we're going to have a meeting of the elders. And we're just going to move on in and do it right after church.
Okay.
But yeah.
I got a cake if anybody wants to have a cake.
Perfect. Oh, we got birthday cake. Okay.
Oh.
It's next door.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I guess the first order of business will be leave here and go have a piece of cake.
Yeah.
Anybody else got something the Lord has done? Yes.
I have something, and I don't really like speaking in front of a bunch of people, but it's pretty amazing to me. I don't need a microphone.
Okay.
We can't hear you back here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. We all have our first time.
I went to breakfast this morning before church at the Westside Cafe, mm-hmm. and was
very amazed to see this young man that I've known from a couple of years ago. I was so amazed that I thought he was someone else. I worked with him, and he had a very bad drug and alcohol problem, and he'd gotten himself into a lot of trouble, lost his job in jail, you know, things like that. And he was telling me that he was has been clean and sober for 8 months now, eight or nine, I can't remember. And that he was just giving praise to the Lord for that, saying that that is the only way that he has been able to do that. And I was talking to him about this church, and I told him he should come here sometime. But unfortunately, he works every Sunday, and I was saying that there's Bible studies on Monday and Tuesday nights. And so I can tell that he's real thirsty for Jesus, and maybe if any of you are hungry before church or after church, you could go in there. His name's Gabe. He wears glasses and he has blonde hair. And
he works
kind of just the West Side Cafe. It's right over
here. Street here on the left.
We've been at there several times.
Yeah, but I think if, you know, it's nice if a couple more people could drop by there and invite him and just, you know.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Keep him in your prayers.
Yep. We got an O-O over here. Did you have something?
I was just going to share something. You mentioned that we didn't have to listen to what Satan has if we resist him. He flee from us. I've been trying to get that through to my mentally retarded little gal that I work with. And it's rather important because she hears voices. I mean, literally hears a voice. And so she, even though she knows it's a devil, and we've talked about how Satan works and so forth, I hadn't been able to get her to resist. And when I'd tell her to resist, she'd want to call him names. And I said, no, that's not the way it works. You just tell him to go away. But she just couldn't get it. So the Lord just really showed me one day, just tell her to turn on. I asked her if this always happened when it was dark or at night. And she said, yes, because I'd heard the ruckuses over there, so I knew that that happened. So I said, well, all right, why don't you just turn on the light? Turn on the light, she said. I said, yeah, you know how to turn the light on? Well, she just didn't quite get it. So I said, come. And so we went into her room, and I said, when he talks to you, turn on the light like that. And then I asked one of the staff people how she could call them. I said, before you do something, call a staff person. And all she had to do was open the door, and it rang a buzzer, and they would come. And it happened. She really did it.
Yes,
and you don't know how great a thing this is, because I've known her for several years now, and I've been working with her. And at least once a week or every 2 weeks, she would tear that place apart. She'd throw the TV through the patio door. She'd hurt herself, try to kill herself. Or she, last time she was tried to burn the couch because he told her to burn the couch. So this is a miracle.
Amen.
And I got to thinking, sure, turn on the light. God's
the Amen.
Light.
Amen.
I mean, it just really
hey, you were talking about the Westgate Cafe. We had some burgers there here a week or so ago. And I had the privilege of meeting someone who I had met before in another restaurant that I worked at. Her name is Sabrina. She's a waitress there at Westgate Cafe. She couldn't wait to come up to me and say, Glenn, I found Jesus.
Praise
I found
Lord.
Jesus.
Thank
and I
Jesus.
Talked with her about Taking Jesus in the other establishment that we worked at, both together. And now maybe she told Gabriel, you know, about Jesus. And wow.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just set it down there. As we take this bread, you know, it talks about Jesus, the bread of life, and it also talks about when he was crucified, his body, and so we're taking of the body until he comes. Now, in that where it's talking about body, there's a word that it connects directly to, and that word is sozo, the one we've been going through, which means what? Saved, healed, delivered. It means the whole thing. So he is wishing that as often as we do this in his remembrance, to remember that he still heals, he still delivers, he still makes us whole. Let us eat. And when he took the cup, he said, this is a blood covenant to you, that all these words, he said, if the sun comes up today, you can count on my word.
Amen.
Is it up? I think it is. And every time it comes up, you can count. And the moon comes out at night, so you're covered day and night. This blood this isn't blood, but he do it in remembrance and think of the blood, that one drop of blood that washed us clean.
Right.
And always remember that you're clean because of the blood of Jesus. Let's drink. Ooh. Lord, I thank you as we drink this that we think of it as the new wine. And everyone that partook today, the Holy Spirit will just completely take over their lives, that they'll give their will over to the Spirit. Jesus made water into wine, and he takes this. This is a symbol of the new wine that we receive from Jesus. Let every one of us begin to stagger and be happy and full of joy as they did in the first church when they came out of the upper room. Peter said, they're not drunk as you suppose. They've been drinking that new stuff, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. We can all have that new stuff by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all are free.